Off the ball on News Talk. Thanks to Air. Catch all the sports you love free on the Air Sport Pack with Air Broadband.
All right, you're very welcome along to our Saturday panel. With us this week, Michael Meehan, the Galway footballer, Mickey Burke, the Meath footballer, and Kieran Hughes, the Monaghan footballer. Lads, you're all very welcome. Thanks very much for joining us.
Hi, Gerard.
I'm sorry that you're all here as opposed to getting ready for All-Ireland semi-finals, but, you know, it has to be done. Kieran, how are you?
Tough week there, okay, so to be honest. It only probably settled into me on Thursday, you know, what really happened. I suppose after you lose the championship game, the only thing to do is to go and take a binge and stuff, and that's what a whole lot of us did. And it took a couple of days to realise, you know, what, how much we were after underperforming, and it was gut wrenching, like. But you know, every sort of team has to drop out at some stage, and we just taken the chin and we'll have to move on with our business. But again, it was very, very difficult to get a hold of not performing. Now we would have fancied ourselves to put it up against them even better.
Yeah, totally, because in the league you've had great games in Croker in particular against them in recent seasons, and for whatever reason that match was over fairly early.
Yeah, and that wasn't the plan at all. It was we were hoping to maybe stay in it for 45-50 minutes and then spring a bench, which has been, it's been very good for us during the back door. And I know it's hard to put a finger on it, but you know, the Dubs are on a different level, and it's tough to admit that, like. But 9 out of 10 times are probably going to beat you, and you're hoping for that one time that you'd try and get on top of them. But after 20-25 minutes, and with Dean Rock shooting the way he was, you know, we were giving away too many silly frees, and you know, game over half time realistically.
Yeah, so what was the difference in how good they are in the league and the championship? Because I guess you measure yourself and you think, okay, we're going to improve as much as they will between the last time you played them in Croker or wherever. Did you play them in Clonus this year in the league?
Played in Clonus, yeah. Yeah, we ran them fairly tight, but again, we never really took too much out of that either, because we were frustrated after that as well. We were 6 or 7 up against them, and we still couldn't pull it out of the bag, like. And that was fairly annoying, but again, we got ourselves together and we knew that we were going to have a tough Ulster championship campaign, and then down put us out in the semi-final stage. And then we had down the week before Dublin, and we put an overemphasis on that, maybe, that, you know, we didn't want to get beat by them twice in the 1 year. And then all of a sudden you beat them fairly comprehensively, and then the next day you're trying to get tuned in to play in the best team in the country. Fairly tough, you know. The Tuesday night training, we tried to set up a stall that was going to try and narrow the deficit as best as possible, but again, just too much power coming from half back line, midfield, and
yeah,
six awesome forwards there that need to be kept an eye on the whole time.
Having been through it just now, is there anything you do differently in terms of how you set up, like, now that you have that wisdom of having just played them?
Yeah, I don't like to be one of them boys that is a know-it-all after you lose, like, because I had fair belief, you know, that we had the right setup. But again, I'd like to probably push up on the kick out a wee bit more, and let Stephen you know, have very little to no options, and
let him beat you. Like, he has to be a superstar to beat you. But
absolutely, yeah. It was far too easy. Like, me playing around the middle this year, there wasn't one kick out contested around the middle, and that's fairly frustrating. So it is, but again, that's the way the game's evolved, and that's how they're getting on top of teams,
yeah,
just driving from the back. And again, that's probably one thing I'd like to do if I was going up against them again, is just try and push up as best you can on them, and, you know, go man for man and see what happens from there. But
relatively controversially, a couple of years back, Dara O'Shea was like, you know, you've got to pull Connolly's tail, was what he was talking about, but get at them physically. And you notice when teams go 10-15 points down, then they start scrapping and these fights start. Like, I've seen it with Westmeath, I've seen it with Kildare over the years. I don't know if you guys did it in the last 10-15 minutes, maybe you did, I can't even remember. But is there not a point where actually you just have to do that from the get-go and go, they're pretty strong and they're pretty physical and they might beat the hell out of us, but actually we have to take that fight to them?
Yeah, well, that's one thing us as Monaghan footballers probably would have prided ourselves on over the past, whatever, you know, 4 or 5 years under Malachy. We definitely would have brought that bit of intensity to the game. And, you know, haven't watched it again, like, but I definitely know from being out there, there was very little to no intensity in our tackle. But maybe that was due to the fact that we knew what we were setting up, and it really wasn't going to be involving a lot of intensity, and we're sort of maybe inviting them on to us, and they were just pickpocketing us in around the edge of the D, and we were throwing in a lazy hand and giving away silly frees. And you know, 5-3 went to 11-3 very, very quick, and that's the way them boys can do it. Like, 5 minutes in the game can be game set match.
Yeah, they drop scores pretty quickly. All right, Mickey, how are you?
I'm good, thanks. Yeah. Not a butter, Jared, not a butter.
What was your off season, or what was your the end of your season in retrospect now?
Oh, sure. Look, it was disappointing, to be honest. We made no secret we kind of wanted to get up to Division One. We didn't achieve that. I think that's where all the teams, the last stage of the championship, are. Like, they're in Division One, so we wanted to get up there, and we didn't. Kildare gave us a bit of a clip, and then in the semi-final of the Leinster, but we picked it up then for the Sligo game, which was it was a tight game in Navan, and we pushed Donegal all the way. I still believe we probably should have bet Donegal on the night, but then you look at the next game, and Mick and the boys got to come out and hammer Donegal, so you kind of be wondering a bit where you're at, like.
Yeah.
But getting up to Division 1 next year will be a priority for us if we're going to try and push forward, I think.
That's the thing, isn't it? Like, you see how well Monaghan have done in recent years. It's been done on the back of successive campaigns in Division 1, where you just learn, where everybody in the squad learns exactly what the intensity is like in the bench in Dublin and Kerry, and even to a lesser extent these days Donegal, but that's what you need to be.
You have to be up there, you know what I mean, to, if you're going to get to the latter stages of the championship, and you know, to give you such a good boost going back, training and, you know, November, December time, knowing that you're going to be playing in front of a full house in Navan, maybe against Monaghan or against Dublin or against Kerry, kind of, you know, really good buzz around the county. So that has to be our goal, I think, next year. But yeah, the championship was disappointing at the end, because, you know, we kind of changed our system for the Donegal and Sligo matches. We brought plenty of men back because we were very open in the Kildare match. They cut through us way too easy, and you know, Paddy McBrearty scores a worldie at the end from 45 yards, beats us by a point. So
yeah,
that's the difference, you know, at times.
You did die with your boots on as a team, though, in fairness. Like, you didn't roll away. You could have, you know, it's easy enough after a bad beating in the provincial championships to go into the qualifiers, and then sure, it's the qualifiers, anything can happen. But actually, you came through that Sligo game and you did really well against Donegal for most of the game. It sounded like you should have won it. I was only listening on the radio, but
yeah, we did. No, and we kind of reconnected with the supporters that night. I suppose Meath were so used to success there for a long time, and you know, they haven't been getting that recently. So yeah, we did die with our boots on. We gave it everything we had in the tank, and we were really unlucky on the night, you know. And I'd say that honestly, I still feel we should have bet them, and I thought Donegal were there for the taking, as Galway proved. Now, maybe not by that amount, but yeah, it's one that certainly kind of slipped away from us.
Yeah. Michael Lazarus himself, how are you?
I'm good, sure, yeah, not too bad, thanks.
Welcome back.
Thank you.
How the hell did this happen? What happened?
I don't know. I suppose there was always just a little something in me that, you know, I left the game through injury at a certain stage in 2014,
yeah,
and was very much, you know, delighted with that move at the time, and it fitted well with where I was, because just my head was fried from recovery and the work I was doing to get back to play to the level that I got to for a couple of years. And that was grand. I suppose Kevin Walsh came in, he just always kept in contact each year. He'd put a call through, and he'd express his wishes, and I know I appreciated that for a couple of seasons, but there was never any more to it for me. And I suppose then just maybe through the course of the club season last year, as the club season wore on, just I was happy with how I was moving, and kind of the levels of training I was getting to participate in were reasonably high. So I suppose all of a sudden then I'm kind of thinking, and you know, you go through the winter like that, and I suppose I just said I'd make a call on it and put a call through to Kevin in January and see was he up for anything. And I just had a desire to, I felt that I could commit to the training and get a sizable amount of it done. So he was happy enough for that. We took a chance on it, and that's how it started.
Yeah, and how is the ankle?
It's okay. It's it needs minding, and I have to manage the workload, especially, you know, at various stages this year the ground got really, really hard just with dry spells, and you know that that took its toll at times, so I just have to back off and manage. But I suppose when you're out of the real high level training for a number of years, getting back up to it then, it just brings all the niggles back everywhere else, backs and groins and knees, and it wasn't just my ankle that I was managing.
Yeah,
there was a lot more to it,
because it was ultimately a back spasm, was it?
Yeah. I picked up a back injury earlier in the year in a club championship game, but it was just a spasm. It settled down quite quickly, but unfortunately on the Friday evening, just coming into Kerry just got a little tweak at home, just doing nothing, picking up toys in the sitting room, and we travelled up on Saturday, and just it was, I was getting an intensive physio and that, but it wasn't coming right, and yeah. Then I kind of knew when I couldn't put on my left boot in the pitch that I was struggling for the game. But you know, that's just the way it goes. If I was available to play, who knows if I was going to be called upon either. But it was unfortunate that that happened at the weekend.
Yeah.
Of the Kerry game.
That must have been the most frustrating thing, because like you know, to make the decision to come back and to go through everything and then to have something completely separate go wrong.
Yeah, well, look at that. I suppose I've, you know, been through a good bit, and I know that the chances of that, you know, these things do happen, can happen, and when you make a decision like that, you take it, as John Giles would say, on its merits.
Yeah.
And just, you know, you have to be prepared to take setbacks. And it was frustrating, but it didn't catch me from total left field
yeah,
either.
Yeah, because you're kind of accustomed to it now in a bad way, but equally in a good
sense,
way.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. You know, you just, it's one of these things. It's part of, unfortunately, it turned into being part of my footballing story, just managing and working through injuries and that sort of thing, it just got on with it.
Yeah, you know? Will you do it again?
It's hard to say. If we were talking this time last year, there was no way I was playing for Galway in 2017.
Yeah,
it's very hard to say right now. It's just it's a big commitment. As well, I'm just someone with young kids. You know yourself, just have a young family at home, and even that alone, and
yeah.
Without
good reason to go back though.
I'll try and get you
can get
to
away with it.
Argue that at home for me, but you know, it takes a massive commitment for a yeah. single man in college, or you know, in a younger man. But there's a lot to weigh up now for me, so we'll see.
Yeah, well,
there is a huge carrot there in Division One League, as Mickey was saying earlier. Yeah. Like, you know,
and there's plenty of time as well, though. Like you know, because obviously your base level of fitness seems to be pretty good. I was interested though in how much it changed in the 3 years you were away, because we keep hearing that there's an arms race on in terms of the levels that players have to go to and the commitments that they're making. So had you noticed a significant change?
I did, yeah. I noticed a change in just the collective hours we were together as a panel had risen from 2013 was my last season until this year, and I suppose that can change with different managements, you know, and obviously it was Kevin Walsh. Adam Mulholland was the manager when I was last there. So, you know, a manager can bring a different approach, but certainly the collective hours we were as a team kind of preparing tactics and just going through all the trainings that you do and meetings and I suppose analysis, video analysis was huge and has been for the last number of years. So there was a huge change in that sense. You know, there was a lot more man hours going into it.
Just to tell everybody, Roberto Firmino has just scored a penalty to make it 2-2 in the Watford-Liverpool game. So there's about 55 minutes gone in that game and it's 2-2. Plenty of time for a winner. Plenty of goals so far in the Premier League. I just wanted to talk to you, Kieran, there about the binge that you said you went on, because I was reading a piece that Shane Stapleton did with you and you were talking about how that's what happens at the end of the Championship season. You go mental because obviously it's been a while since you've been free, and just in light of what Joe Canning was saying about how the culture is a little bit skewed here, where everybody goes off and acts like a hermit for 6 months and then they go completely mental when they go out of the Championship and they find themselves making bad decisions at that point and also not really recovering very well from it.
Yeah, this week was no better time to realise that. You know, we met up with a couple of them on Wednesday night and we were just sort of, you know, trying to get each other talked around, you know, that there's light at the end of the tunnel here sort of thing. And thankfully yesterday morning was the first morning I was able to spark a wee bit of a smile. It might have been a fake one, but I got there. But again, when you come back to the binge, it's, you know, you have to be sort of honest about it. It seems like the only thing that's the right thing to do straight after something like that, especially when you put so much effort into it. When Michael was saying there about the effort and the collective hours that you put in together all year, and then within 70 minutes the show's over and the year's over and you're not going to see them boys again for whatever 5-6 months. It's fairly frustrating, but again, look at the crack was good with all the boys. And in fairness to us lads, we all go out together and we all socialise together. But my main issue with the whole thing is that there's probably not enough of it during the year.
Yeah,
and that's why we probably went so mental as we would maybe.
Did you stay in Dublin after the game? Did you all go out in Dublin? Or did you go home?
Back to Monaghan Saturday night, and then it was just a run through to get into cars Sunday morning, and away we went, the whole lot of us up to. Or down to Dublin, and what got ourselves perched up. But a couple of hours about the place. I didn't really, just saying to the boys before I came in, I wouldn't be big, a big Dublin fan, like, and wouldn't really know too much about it, but perched ourselves up anyway, and into the early hours of Monday morning, Cathal Jackson was looking after us.
Yeah, naturally.
Naturally. Appreciate that, Cathal, thanks very much, but not really after it.
3-2 to Liverpool. They scored two goals in a minute. Looks like Mo Salah has finished that one there. So am I right about Mo Salah? I am, yeah. 3-2 with 57 minutes gone, so a bit of drama there.
This week's getting worse now.
Who do you support?
United, man.
Alright, well, there's plenty of time for that to come good as well. What's the aftermath of the Championship exit like for the Meath panel? Do you guys go on a bender collectively as well, or...
We went out after the game in Nav. We weren't really prepared for it, like, so I had to go back to Longwood, which is about 30 minutes away, and come back in again. But that's the same, like, I don't know if mourning is the right word, put that word in there, but you know, like, you're devastated. I was walking around in the cloud for about a week, because it's such a big part of your life. Like, I'm completely in the bubble, and I know that myself, playing football with Meath. Like, you eat, sleep, drink it every day, and it's probably one of my weaknesses is switching off. I find it very hard to switch off from football. It's probably something that I need to work on. I was reading Kevin McManaman, I think, somewhere. I was in college with Kevin, and he was just saying about when he's on the pitch, it's something he's worked on. When he's on the pitch or when he's training, he's flat out, but when he's away from it, he's kind of more relaxed, and maybe that's something I need to be better at. You know, I'm very, you know, on all the time.
He's a really interesting character, because he's actually studied sports psychology, and he's got into that kind of as a part of his work, but also he's a musician who can go and perform, and you'd see him around town sometimes just carrying an instrument, and you're like, that's a completely alternative lifestyle, you know. Yeah. Like, he goes to Temple Bar and gigs for a bunch of Americans. You have no clue that this is one of the best footballers in the country who's doing all that in his spare time, and I can see how that would be pretty good to, you know, to get out of your own head, but still kind of good for the adrenaline, you know.
Of course, yeah. So it's something different, and a different way of switching off. Like, you know, going to a pub, playing a bit of music, anything like that, it would be great.
You're a farmer, is that right?
Well, my dad's a farmer. Yeah, no, we own a pub in Longwood. We own a pub in the village there.
Okay,
family pub. So,
so everybody's coming in, going, how's the football going?
They
all
are,
the time.
Yeah. Now, the boys at home in Longwood would be laughing. I'd be dodging it now when it's coming up to a game, trying to avoid them conversations. You have to, in a way, or you give people the same spiel every time. Oh yeah, look, it'll be tight, and
yeah,
you kind of have your senses.
Kick a ball,
you know,
in it.
Yeah, exactly. Just to keep them at arm's length. But no, it's great. It's just a small family pub, and we've a bit of a farm there as well. Yeah.
Okay, and is work an escape in some ways? Because, like, farming and the pub, they never really switch off either. Like.
Well, we're not a dairy farm. You know, we've cows and calves and that kind of thing. So it is nice as you're out in the fresh air, you're loosening up, you're getting out early in the day or whatever, and then you're in the pub then in the evenings. But I'm not probably in the pub as much as I should be, as Mick was saying. I'd be closing up a lot of the time, you know, because the amount of collective sessions that we're doing. I have to thank my sister and my mother and father for looking after me there so much, you know.
So you're coming home from the training and then closing the pub that night?
I'd be closing the pub there, yeah. I'd be closing the pub most evenings, because we'd obviously be gone. You'd be gone to Navan, or you'd be gone to Nungani, to the gym or to the pitch. So I'd come home and then I'd close up and go upstairs, yeah.
Yeah.
Live upstairs.
And do you find that the culture is that you can't engage in real life until the very end, and then it is a bit too intense? Like, it was interesting that Joe Canning did kind of kick off this conversation during the week when he it was in that interview in the Indo. With Vincent Hogan, where he was just saying that he thinks that the balance is completely wrong, that GAA needs to learn to have a few drinks, let their hair down in the middle of the season on enough occasions so that people don't feel the need to go absolutely crazy.
Yeah, big time. Yeah, no, I do agree with Kieran. Like, you have to pump a bit of green diesel into the tank every so often, you know what I mean? So as Joe said, but one thing I would say is that, you know, everyone was seeing the Lions rugby boys having a few pints or whatever after the games, and that's grand. But
I made week before the final test.
Yeah, and I had a chat to the Mead strength and conditioner about this as well, and he was saying that, like, the work to rest ratio of rugby players is slightly different to, we'll say, a Premiership footballer or a GAA player. The running is a little bit different, so they can have a little bit of a timber on them. Do you know what I mean? If that makes sense. Do you know what I mean?
It's protective for all the big hits.
Yeah, no, exactly. Yeah. So that's what he was saying. I just found it interesting that he thinks.
And was that a you can't go drinking, they can kind of conversation?
No. He was just saying that Premiership footballers and GAA players, our body fats need to be a little bit lower, and, you know, so that was just his thinking on it.
Yeah. Go on.
There was a lot made last year of Liam Kearns and his approach with the Tipperary football.
Yeah, go out and enjoy yourselves, lads.
Yeah. And, you know, they obviously got to the All-Ireland semi-final and had a good enough day out against Mayo that day. But it's a hard one to manage, I say, as a manager, you know. And I think it would be a good approach. But sometimes you give a lad an inch and he'll take a mile. And that's just... It could take a whole lifetime to kind of change the mindset of the generic GAA player that's out there.
Yeah.
There's no denying the fact that for every championship exit is met with this just barrage of...
You're laughing.
I'm sweating.
Are you? Still from last week's drink?
Yeah.
Well, what would... Like, what's the right balance? What is the...
Michael's just after hitting nail in the head there. You give some lads an inch, they'll take a mile, and... Maybe back in the day when I was younger, I would have talked to me.
You would have been, yeah.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. You just would have known no different. Being a young lad, you want to enjoy yourself. But I know now, 27 years of age, that I just can't physically do that anymore. Like, and I wouldn't want another week of that again.
Yeah.
So, again, I don't know if there's a proper answer to the whole thing. It's definitely changing it up a wee bit during the year where boys and teams and we can get a wee bit more... It doesn't have to be alcohol surrounded, like, but you know, some sort of downtime or something that
isn't just football intensity. Yeah. And how are we going to do on the first round of the championship that has been circled on the calendar since the draw was made?
Well, it is. It's all consuming, you know. And we've talked about the collective time spent together, but at home on your own, you're preparing your meals, or you're getting your meals delivered, and you're lining them up for the next day or the next few days, and you're doing your prehab and rehab and all the rest, and it's you're looking at video analysis in your own time at home as well, and there's very little time, you know, outside of that. So it's just it's a balancing act, and I don't know how or if the balance can be reached and all of that.
Yeah, because I think this is kind of part of the other conversation about how everybody keeps ratcheting up the ante. And effectively, this is the Dubs with their resources and their playing pool. They can continue to have people who kind of burn out or flame out or take years off and no one misses a beat or the team doesn't miss a beat because, you know, it's grand. They don't have, you know, they lose an all-star fullback. Yeah. Paul Mannion goes away for a while and comes back, and Jack McCaffrey goes away and comes back, and they still win the All-Irelands in their absence. But like in your counties, players go missing and suddenly the team balance just doesn't work, so no real way that the other counties can continue to compete with that.
Let the other place talk with that, because I'll be honest with you, I'd hate to come on here and start making excuses and start giving out about this is why we lost and Dublin this, Dublin that. That's not the way it is. Look, I love the sport, I love playing GAA, and I know I'm only going to have it in my life for another, hopefully, maybe 6-7 years at the top level. And
can you continue to make the sacrifice for the next 6 or 7 years? I guess that's the question.
Well, hopefully my girlfriend is not listening to this, but I can absolutely, yeah. But again, I'd rather be going out training and doing my rehab or my prehab rather than and then going and talking on a high stool or going and enjoying myself, because, you know, it's all well and good the time, but the aftermath is not easy now.
Yeah. Yeah, and because again, just reading some of the stuff that in that piece you did with Shane, you were talking about last year's exit was obviously a bit of a shock to the rest of the country when Longford knocked out in the qualifiers. You said that was very difficult, and getting the group back together, there was these kind of like, oh, Jesus, do we all have to go through this again? And there was just a period of time where that was the hardest part, even when you go back to training for the first time and look at each other and go, oh, right, let's go.
Well, that's true, but again, you know, The way Monaghan have been going for the last couple of years, we just try to keep raising the bar, and along with trying to raise the bar, you're going to have to deal with big setbacks again, because, you know, you're trying to beat the bigger teams, but then a smaller team, as they say, come along and they beat you, and all of a sudden this big shock because people are expecting so much of you all of a sudden. And, you know, I think we dealt with that fairly poorly, but, you know, I couldn't wait to get on a plane last year just to get away from the whole thing. It just consumed far too much of my energy and life, and especially when the club was prolonged that year too till the 5th of December, like, and you're back in an inter-county training 3 weeks later, like, it's, I don't know if you'd see it anywhere else.
Yeah, but you don't make it sound like you enjoy it.
No, definitely. this time last year 100% wasn't enjoying it, but
so what changed? Like, when did you start going, actually, you know what, I love this and this is who I am?
Yeah, well, we got knocked out in the first round of Ulster with the club in early October, and I knew I was going to have 6-7 weeks off, And I did whatever I could in them 6 or 7 weeks to just let the hair down and you know, rest up. And then I sort of had to make a decision that, look, at you know, I wasn't getting the best out of myself in the field for Monaghan, and I was my performances were way below par, and I can't accept that. Like, it was very, very annoying. The boys admit themselves, like, when they're below performing, they're not going to be happy with themselves individually. Like, so I had to make a decision of, you know, it's one way or the other here. And you know, got the show back on the road, what, end of November, and all the boys just rallied in and got the shoulder behind the wheel. And
what did you do? Like, how? So when you're saying you're making that decision, like, practically, what changes do you make to your life to go and become a better footballer?
Well, honestly, I got onto a personal trainer, and something that I never thought I would ever have to get onto. But I needed somebody by my side to give me a bit of advice on where I need to go to get myself moving up and down to be a box to box player. And
yeah.
I just needed some sort of advice, and I would have maybe laughed at people before getting PT sessions or something from Gaelic perspective, but I just said I needed some sort of professional advice, and got on to Paul O'Donovan in DBSM in Monaghan, and he kept me going for about, I think it was about eight week session, about 2-3 times a week. Just it wasn't heavy weights around, it was just getting the body loosened out and
yeah.
Letting it go free and letting it be able to do what it should be able to do.
And so was that tied into diet and all that other stuff as well? Or
Yeah, there was part of the diet. Again, I'd never really concentrated too much on that, but again, as Mickey's saying, you have to sort of try and keep yourself as lean as possible to be able to travel on the ground. But it was just dealing with bits of injuries, hamstring tendinopathy and ankle injuries and what else was there? My head, more so, work.
Yeah.
And you know, it all sort of came together a wee bit at the start of the league. I found myself moving across the ground a lot different, and maybe come the end of the championship there, you know, it was taking its toll. There was a lot of games there in a row, and definitely big time disappointed with me personally last week. Now I never got into the game at all, and it just bypassed me. And again, I'm going to have to look at that there when I get sitting down.
Did your body type change a bit with all that training? Like, I mean, you know, did you lose weight, or did you kind of bulk up in the right places, or was it?
Probably leaned a slight bit, but I'd like to sort of kept myself at the weight I was at,
yeah.
to be able to play maybe around the middle, because I know there's big fellas around the likes of David Moore, and these boys are
big lads,
Brian Fenton. So, you know, I didn't really need to be saying to the man, I need to lose weight here, and they'd be just flinging me about like a rag doll. So just, you know, sort of I wanted to get my lungs opened up a wee bit and just try and get that wee bit fitter and have it sort of in my system, because I just knew that to beat these big teams or to get anywhere close to them, you have to be fit come the last 10-15 minutes.
Yeah.
It's all right playing for 40-45 minutes and feeling okay, but if you're not physically or mentally tuned in for that last 5-10 minutes against them, you're a goner.
Yeah. Mickey, you do weights on the day of a game.
Boys were laughing at that earlier on. No, I just do it more so just to kind of loosen out your, you know, get the body fired up, and so I just go in the morning time, maybe do a few squats, a few bench press or something, a bit of stretching, maybe a few cleans, and then just have me shower and go for the pre-match meal. I wouldn't be eating a whole lot because I get very nervous before games,
right?
Myself,
like pukey nervous.
No, not pukey, but I'd definitely be, you know, I think it's a good thing though. I think it means your body knows that
something big's about to happen.
Exactly, yeah. And the day I'm not nervous is when I know it'll probably be time to pack it in. But no, I'm a big believer in the weights before the game. Like, nothing too outrageous or heavy or anything like that, but just more so just to, and it passed a bit of time again as well.
Yeah,
you know, before it, instead of waiting around.
And obviously you've had talks with the strength and conditioning team. Are they like, would you just stop, or are they like, yeah, okay, off you go on?
No. He's okay with it, but
okay.
No, he's happy enough with it. But no, I won't be doing much upper body. I've kind of knocked off it the last couple of years. I got probably too big there a few years ago, being honest, but I broke my leg there in 2010, and you know, I kind of wanted to build myself up so much I probably got way too big.
And does somebody have a quiet word with you and say, here, listen, you know, or do they like just show you some stats and times and go, you used to be a bit faster than this, what do you think has changed?
Andy the manager, and John the S&C, just I was doing a bit of boxing over the winter, kind of, so you're getting the kind of cardio work in, but you're not obviously putting on muscle, maybe like the weight. So that was one thing I did over the winter to kind of keep me ticking over.
Yeah, okay. Michael, in retrospect, with all the injuries that you've had, if you were coming up now as a 16, 17 year old and getting physio and S&C advice, would life be different for you?
I don't think it would be hugely. You know, the couple of major injuries I picked up were sort of impact injuries.
Okay.
You know, there was just an incident where a collision or an impact or a, you know, something, my ankle just really went off. You know, it wasn't to do
with
training. No, it wasn't training related or fatigue related or one tightness somewhere else pulling on something that caused it. So I don't think there would have been a huge difference to me in that regard. Maybe possibly I thought like backs and things like that are just feeling the effects of the training regime at the minute. So maybe a little bit in that regard, a small bit more of the, you know, the prehab and, you know, in fairness, like kids in development squads from very young ages now are getting exposed to a lot of good stuff. So
yeah,
you would hope that they'll be left in a better position maybe than some of us are to deal with the workload that's going to come on them if they do go on to inter-county.
Yeah, like even the experience that you had last winter, you'd hope that the 16 and 17 year olds in the development squads, if they feel the need, or for, you know, if there's a manager going, we're going to make you a midfielder this year, somebody there can advise them on the type of stuff that you were getting advised on.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a massive part of the game now. You know, again, what Michael was saying about the way the collective hours have upped over the past couple of years. You know, to keep the body fresh, coming the main part of the year is the ultimate goal. It's all well and good feeling fresh and McKenna Cup and starting the National League and everything. But if you can't maintain that through the course of the year, then you know, you're not going to get your maximum performance on the big day. And you know, I've probably found that last week, like it just so lethargic and just felt like a wee juvenile again running about.
That's weird, isn't it?
Oh, it's frustrating,
because the week before in the second half you were like, it was the best that we'd seen Monaghan play in ages.
Yeah, we got our pushed up again, so we did for the second half, and I think collectively we feel we're at our best when we push up and go at teams. You know, because you can't sit in the dressing room after and say, well, at least we didn't go for it.
Yeah.
I think when there's fellas sort of maybe not happy or not tuned into what they need to be doing with when you're going for a defensive system, then it can sort of frustrate the whole team.
Yeah, what do you all think of this? There's this feeling, like in rugby in particular, when Irish teams play kind of a drift defence where we allow teams to come onto us, we don't look great, the crowd kind of starts going, what the hell's going on here? But when we blitz and we go out and are in everybody's faces, the crowd gets up, the team gets up, and everybody understands it. It just seems that in Irish sport we like to be the aggressors, that there's this sense of, we're going to get the ball and we're going to try and smash it, and then we'll be clever with it and we can have all the skills at that point. But it's that whole earning the right to be skillful. You're very skillful, so you're looking at me going, shut up, will you?
No, it's an interesting debate, I suppose. Like, similar instances, you know, occurred for us this year, and whereas we went to the Donegal game having gotten clipped by Roscommon and in a disappointing Connacht final. So we had watched Donegal and we felt we just had to go at them straight away. And thankfully the Meath lads had them softened up from the week before, so they might have made the job a little bit easier. But that was one instance where we just pushed up and were the aggressors from the very first second. And then we probably changed our approach a little bit, looking to Kerry. And you know, it's a fault of everyone just to give the Kerrys and the Dublins too much respect.
But yeah,
you know, and I suppose we just, what we needed to bring to Kerry was that, you know, fierce intensity that you talked about earlier, from bring that cut and thrust from the throw in, and ask them those really difficult questions early on.
Everybody knows they're going to be in a fight from the get-go, as opposed to in the last 10 minutes when the game's over.
Exactly. And we probably didn't do that enough, you know, in that game against Kerry. And that left us then just, like you said, sometimes the drift that you talked about, it's hard to snap out of it then. And maybe it's too late when you realise that you have to. So
is that,
there's
that
a balance though, because like, some people don't want to get
stupid. Yeah, yeah,
hammered or whatever.
Exactly. Is that a tactical thing where it's like, look, we're going to not sit back here, but we're going to try and ease into the game? Is that where that?
Well, coming from our perspective last week, I could sit here and make excuses all day, but you can't physically push up in Dublin's kickouts the whole time, because Cluxton has a ball in his arm and the ball's gone, and you could have 3-4 of your forwards taken out of play straight away. So I can understand that on a management's point of view.
Yeah,
100%. But I think he kicked 90% of them short. Like, you'd like some sort of percentage to come out around the middle and be able to battle for it, like midfielders are probably meant to be doing. But you know, he's just got a ball in his hand, and the same with the, you know, with the other teams, the other keepers, they're just, the ball is just ready to go straight away. They don't really care where the ball goes, whether it's over, wide or on or flag, it's just, they're ready to go straight away.
Yeah. So what do you do?
Oh, it's everybody been, tuned in to just grab a man and yeah, make sure he just doesn't get the ball. But again, that's easier said than done.
Was it last year when Kerry decided that they were only going to push up whenever they were taking a free, so they'd take ages over the free, everybody would understand, okay. Mm. You guys have come up against Cluxton's kickouts quite a bit. What's the Meath strategy at this point?
We did try to do that. Anytime there was a close in free, maybe in the D, and you knew it was going to be clipped over the bar, he'd push up. But as Kieran is saying, he's just phenomenal. Like, and I think Jimmy McGuinness, before 2014, was saying he studied Dublin's kickouts constantly, and he couldn't find a set kind of routine that Cluxton. It was just as if he was putting it down, and the movement out the field is so good.
Yeah,
I'm sure internally in that dressing room that they have kickouts worked on, no doubt. But it just seems to be so hard to read, you know. But when he is, very rarely now, put under pressure, he does seem to get unbelievably flustered, like that 2014. Now it's a rarity, because I think he's probably the best, you know, goalie ever, nearly from restarts.
Yeah, but it also goes through the team like really quickly when he's in any way flustered. And the Donegal game in the league, there was a second time. It's happened twice anyway in the last couple of years. And
Mayo as well, I think, at some stage.
That was it. Sorry, yeah. It was the Mayo one. Yeah,
yeah.
Remember Kerry to push their half backs up as well, the whole way up the field as well, to kind of cut out them pockets, which was kind of genius idea, and it worked for a while. But it's very hard. It's very hard to know what to do.
Yeah. What's your take on the whole kind of sense of what teams should be doing when? Okay, so you know that your group of players isn't as good as their group of players, but at the same time, you know, you're in a competition, you're trying to win it here. So what's the best way of doing that? Like, are you of the mindset that you want to keep the score close and hope that something happens, or do you try and win it from the get-go?
I think you got to be tight defensively. Like, I think you have to be tight, bringing lads back and maybe trying to hit them on the counter. I think you're foolish if you go out and you play 15 on 15 at Dublin at the moment. That's my own opinion. Like, see what maybe happen with Westmeath and things like that. And again, I don't want to be coming out with excuses like Kieran as well either, you know, because they're a phenomenal outfit at the moment, and there's no denying that, and there's no pleasure saying that as a Meath man. But I think you got to be defensively sound, and then you got to bring that passion as well, which a lot of teams, I think, are going out on the field and maybe
they're already beaten.
Being honest, they're probably beaten before they play Dublin and maybe Kerry as well.
It feels like all of Leinster at the moment is a bit like that. That they're kind of, oh geez, what we'll do is we'll make sure we're the best of the rest, and they're obsessed with each other as opposed to actually going, well, this is the challenge that we face.
Mm.
Is that fair?
I can't speak for everyone, like, but you know, myself, you know, when I start training, I'm not training to come second, you know, and people are probably saying, what is this let on about, like, you know, you're going to come second or whatever, or third. But every night I go out training, I want to win a Leinster, like, and that's the truth. Whether that's going to happen, I don't know, but yeah, they're just a phenomenal machine at the moment. And you know, people forget probably from 86 to 2002 or 3, Dublin couldn't beat Meath, basically, you know. So these things do go in circles. I've no doubt the wheel will turn, but it's not looking like it anytime soon, because they've while they're at the top, they've put such huge emphasis on their underage. They're really driving on.
Yeah, that's the problem with this one. It doesn't seem like this cycle is going to break.
No,
that actually they've used the money properly. And
yeah, I suppose. But what other counties could be looking at is, like, Dublin is kind of unique with the population and everything else. But like, when you see, and maybe Kerry to somewhat with the real strong tradition are a little different too. But when you see the more like the Tyrones and what Mayo are doing as well, you know, that's kind of a template then for the next group of counties maybe to look to and try and emulate, because you know they're the teams that are the best of the rest, and maybe even better this year. We'll see what'll happen.
Yeah, and they keep producing teams.
Yeah.
I mean, it takes a little bit longer. Everybody in Tyrone would have hoped that this team would have been a couple of years already down the line, but actually the one that has come through this year has been brilliant. Monaghan are pretty good though, aren't they? Like, when you consider the population is tiny compared to all the other counties around them, the level of success that you guys have had over the last number of years by being a Division 1 team, by competing in Ulster and winning a couple of Ulsters, it seems like you've got your systems in place and they work. Everybody plays a certain number of club games, the clubs understand, the games are starred at the start of the year, you're not available for your club for those ones, and then the collective understands that the county team is what everybody's trying to improve.
Yeah, that's true. You know, since Malachy and Leo and Ryan have come on board, They've been absolutely fantastic, and we have serious time for them. And you know, we'd be hoping that they'd go again, because you know, we wouldn't have Ulsters in our back pockets if they weren't about. They realised the talent there was about the county, and I think they've maximised that to the absolute tilt. They've got everything they can out of them, and I still believe that there is a couple of young lads coming up as well that can push it on.
But well, I was going to ask that, because when you lose players like Paul Finlay and Dick Clerkin, is there a sense that a moment has passed, or do you still feel like you're in the middle of your moment?
No, absolutely not. Like, that's their era finished, and it's another chapter as far as I'm concerned for boys to come in and raise the bar again. Like, we'd own Lennon in this year, like, and you know, he was adamant that this was one of the best morning teams that we're about, and we were just trying to get the best out of each other. But again, it goes back to what I was talking about earlier. Like, we don't really, you know, pass really much remarks on how well we're doing or whatever. We just every night, you know, as Mickey was saying, you're just trying to get the best out of yourself in training and see where that takes you, and take each game as it comes. And
yeah,
and you know, we've been in Division 1 for the last 4 years, and people might be making a big deal of it, but as far as I'm concerned, like, the, you know, we're just going out to train and maximise our potential. And you know, if that means that we're well capable of being in Division 1, well, you know, happy days. But again, I'd never get too ahead of the whole thing. I'd never try and come here and sit here and say, you know, we're wanting to beat the Dublins and the Tyrones and these teams are the best. Absolutely, you know, that is the plan. But again, it's realistically, you know, they're a phenomenal outfit at the moment. And I was just hoping last week that we would have showed a wee bit more collectively, but it just wasn't to be in the day.
Well, obviously that game is fresh in your mind, and it's clearly painful. When you look back over the last couple of years, is the Tyrone game, after you were already the Ulster champions in Croker, is that the one that annoys you the most?
That stays in the system, yeah. And the 2013 one, I think that was probably our best chance of getting to the semi. Our first year winning Ulster, we had a goal chance at the start of the second half against Tyrone, like, and then I got sent off about 10 minutes later, and that was a big regret. Like, and you know, after that day, you know, if you had told me I was going to be sitting and talking on air about 5 years later, I'd say that was going to be my biggest regret. Again, you know, Tyrone knew coming through the back door in 15 when they got us that they could match us individually, and you know, they're a well-oiled machine at the moment. Like, and they have a conveyor belt of talent coming through the county, which is top class.
Yeah. What happened with sending off? I've momentarily forgotten.
It was just a second booking. Again, it could happen any other day, but it mightn't warrant any card at all. But
yeah.
Just foolish on my own behalf. Young, silly, just too ahead of myself. And
is the 2013 game the one that is really close at the end? They're both pretty close games, but
The 15 one wasn't really that close. It was Tyrone got ahead by 7 or 8 points, and we're just able to ease the game out.
Yeah, so the 2013 game was the one that was really close. 2 points in.
Yeah,
at the
that's
end.
that was the famous tackle. So it was from Sean
Kavanagh.
Again, a whole lot of us. Yeah. Do the same.
Yeah.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, you'd pull them down with it, dude.
Yeah. That's the way it works.
Do whatever you got to do to win.
And that's why Tyrone are still in the championship this year. They seem to be the best at that stuff, the sledging and the getting other teams annoyed, provoking teams into not doing what they're supposed to do. It's going to be interesting to see what happens when they do that against Dublin.
Yeah, I think we were chatting about that outside before we came into the studio, and I suppose you're looking for something big to happen in the final three games, you know, of the football championship. And I suppose there's a potential in both semi-finals for upsets, but probably while we're talking about Tyrone, it's just what they have to do from the beginning is, you know, they have their system, they've been perfecting it over a number of years now, and I'm sure they had one eye on Dublin long before they qualified for the All-Ireland semi-final. And they would have known how the draw was likely to work out from you know, since the start of the year.
Yeah.
And I think we're all looking forward to kind of seeing how will it work out. You know, will they be able to get their counter-attacking game in play? You know, Mickey was saying outside that they have the physicality to match Dublin, and I would agree with him that they do. And they have players to come in off the bench like Dublin as well. But it's going to be a challenge. Can they score enough? But they'll bring everything that you mentioned into it to try and gain every little advantage and pick on any weakness that might be creeping into Dublin's mindset.
Yeah, I I mean, nobody really likes watching that type of stuff, but it is funny that none of the other teams really do it against Dublin, that there's this kind of like acceptance that we're a football team and they're a football team, we'll play football, but then they always win in those games.
I know.
Kerry do it and Tyrone are going to do it and like Mayo always stood up physically to Dublin and got close to beating them at various stages. And kind of maybe you have to be able to do that. I don't know. Like maybe that's a skill in itself that you have to practice all the time.
Ah, you think you have to have a kind of a dark side to you to remember having a couple of battles with this man over here. A couple of times, all right. But look, you have to.
What happened?
Just sledging.
Just sledging. You, are you a sledger?
If somebody says the wrong thing to me, absolutely. But
I didn't say anything wrong to him anyway. So.
you're not an instigator.
No, definitely not. People might call me an instigator, but no, I'd have to be provoked now to get a reaction.
How did you provoke him, Mickey?
I suppose. Look, I'm just a nuisance. I'm trying to annoy lads.
Michael Meehan's holding his fist up.
No, but I think you have to. You have to bring them things to the table. To maybe not the sledging, the open part of that. I'm genuinely not a big fan of that myself.
Yeah.
I kind of more.
You made a special dispensation for him.
He's a hard man to handle now. He's being harsh to himself there earlier on. He's a good footballer. But the Meath under 17s played Tyrone and All Ireland semi final there the other night, and according to all accounts, they're playing the same brand of football the whole way up, like from 17s, you know. So they're very systematic. They know what they're at. They all kind of have the same build, like the two McCanns, McNamee, Colin Kavanagh. They're really lean, athletic team. Not carrying, obviously, the muscle in the right places and that. And I definitely think that athletically and physicality wise, they're going to be able to put it up to Dublin, whether they score enough, as Mick was saying. Time will tell, but I think it's going to be close.
Just a couple of quick texts. I was really hoping to see Michael in Croke Park, complete star. He's been a brilliant ambassador and player for Galway. Love to see him back. He's been a brilliant servant, says Helen Faherty on Facebook. I have to say, as a Monaghan fan, always knew how good Kieran could be. I thought his Ulster final performance in 2013 was brilliant. Thought this year was his most complete year in terms of personal performance. My player of the year in Monaghan, I felt his decision making on the field was the biggest area that he improved. So all that work he put in definitely paid dividends. According to this listener anyway.
And then thanks,
this is a hugely critical text of GAA players everywhere, for which I don't know if I'm going to put you three on the hook for it. Lads, this GAA sacrifice during the season is rubbish. Most intercounty players are approaching busy fools looking for the edge. Look at athletics, as Jerry Kiernan pointed out. They make a life choice. GAA players need to get over it. Either enjoy it or shut up. Getting very old news now, and most are making a living out of the GAA with their GAA soft jobs. Change the record. Imagine complaining about the gym and training, says Kieran in Fermoy. Soft jobs, chasing after cows.
Fair enough.
It's an opinionated world, so it is.
It is, it definitely is. The death of football was announced a couple of years ago on TV. Every week you tuned in. And then this year has been one of those years where the scoring has been unbelievably high. The skills set seems to be going through the roof. Kick passing seems to have returned to the game. And that cycle of unbelievable negativity where everybody was just trying to badly copy and mimic what Donegal did has passed, and it looks like it's a brilliant game to play in and to watch at the moment.
I think Everton evolves, like, you know, and you got to move with the times. Like Armand, Tyrone, the early noughties were huge physical men, kind of like bodybuilders. Then we went kind of defensive style there for a while with Donegal, and you just got to be able to adapt and change your game as team and as individuals. Yeah, there's plenty of good kick passing now. I suppose Super 8 is going to be next year, and that'll be interesting. That's another day's work, another talk. But
in favour of it,
I don't know what it's going to do for the so-called weaker counties. Like, I just think it's bizarre enough, to be honest with you. Now it's going to be great if you get there. You know, you're going to have a home and away game, I think, and a game in Croke Park. But I just don't know what it's doing for the so-called weaker counties. Like, how is it going to bring football on? They need to be playing against the best teams regularly, you know. I know Carlo had a bit of a run. I don't want to be in any way, shape or form patronising towards Carlo, because it was brilliant, but you know, it happens once in a blue moon. Like, they need to be playing regular football against
it's
good
summertime
teams.
For a prize as well,
exactly.
Where they have a chance of winning, and at home where there's like a sense of progress. I would tend to agree with that. But just in the evolution of the game, is it a much better game to play in? Is it more enjoyable this year and last year than it was even 3 or 4 years ago?
Well, for me personally, it was. Just been around the number 8, number 9 position. I was in full forward for the last 3 or 4 years, and it's very frustrating in Ulster football.
Yeah.
A lot of men in front of you, and my movement might be as good as the rest of the fellas, and I just wanted out to have a wee bit of freedom and get on a wee bit of ball where there's going to be no man in my face the whole time. And no, definitely seen a lot more improvement in the game this year, but I never really give out about it, because the reality is it is the way it is, and there's no point giving out about it, because you have to go out and just deal with what's put in front of you.
Yeah.
And try and manage it as best you can.
It does feel like there was a big leap forward in terms of teams trying to be more creative when they had the ball and trying to break more quickly, that the game has improved in terms of the level of thinking that's going on about, okay, so when we don't have the ball, what are we trying to do to affect change, and when we do have it, how are we trying to be creative when we get it?
Yeah, that's true, but you take the Galway Donegal game, for example, like they pushed up on their kickouts, and every ball was just lamped out the middle, and it was just a matter of how many men you could get around for breaking ball, and game on as soon as the ball's in the air, 50-50, game on, and everybody loves to see it. That's what people pay in to see, is that sort of end-to-end stuff.
Yeah. Is it a no?
I don't know. At times it is, but there's definitely going to be lots of games next year throughout all the divisions in the leagues and into the championships where you're going to have, you know, dour defensive affairs. But I think there's a bit more of a balance coming to it with the real high-paced counter-attacking style.
Yeah.
And that leads to a pacey, much more open game. And if you get a couple of teams who are doing that in the right way, it makes for very good football.
Yeah.
And you can see very good elements of it, and we know the quickest way the quickest way to transfer the ball is putting your boot to it. Mm. You know, so, and once the skill levels are being worked on to a high enough level where coaches will allow players kick the ball more,
yeah,
that's what you want to see.
I think that feels like something that's happened, where kick passing has now been worked on in training, and managers are going, okay, we've done enough of this that if you have the ball in your hands, you're allowed to kick it, whereas previously you kind of felt like maybe they weren't being allowed to kick it.
Absolutely, and it's no more than how it essentially it's copying is what's going on. So maybe, you know, the defensive systems were copied when that worked, and maybe Dublin's template is now being copied a little bit more, and it's that open and attacking and direct football play.
Yeah.
And the rest of the counties are catching on to this and trying to essentially copy it and see can it bring them on. So
yeah,
it's no harm.
Is it changing your game at all?
Has my own personal game changed? Andy definitely wanted to see me. I started off as a forward, funnily enough, playing with Meath when I made my championship debut, and he just wanted me to try and kick the ball a bit more and not be. I would be safety first as a footballer, like, and I don't mind saying that. I'd give the ball, I'd hand pass it here to make, you know,
yeah,
if I could, or to here, and, you know, to keep the ball. But it's all about what way a team's set up. Like, if there's 12 or 13 men back and you're trying to look for your inside forward line, you're not going to kick the ball away, you know. So you just got to play it as you see it.
Yeah, and in those circumstances when that, and you are faced with it, how well trained are you guys and everybody else to deal with that? Like, because you know you're going to come up with those situations in games. It's hard to mimic, though.
It is hard to mimic. And then when you're from a county like from Meath, who are traditionalists and they like seeing the ball kicked in, the crowd can get in your back and give you a bit of hassle. We were getting a bit of hassle in the Donegal game because we were keeping the ball and we were going sideways and over and back, and you might have the ball there for 30 or 40 or 50 seconds even, and you're just waiting for someone just to dart through and kind of take that ball of pace and break a line. But you just have to be patient with it. But it's definitely something that takes a lot of time to work on, and we'd be very in the early stages of that,
yeah,
you know, as a county.
What do you do when the crowd are getting at you in Navan and they're screaming, lamp it in?
Yeah, kick it in long. Oh God, if you hear kick it in long once more time. But no, you just have to be patient and try and look for the right option. You know, Mead people love their football, and, you know, they're going to shout things at games. So
yeah, you need to develop a thick skin.
Exactly. Yeah, if you don't have a thick skin, there's something wrong. You don't hear Everton anyway the majority of the time. So
yeah, what was the fallout from the Galway going out the way they did? Was there, because it seems like this is a team that has a bit of credit in the bank with the Galway supporters, the way that they've come up from Division 2 to Division 1.
Yeah, that was a big thing this year, was getting to Division 1 out of the league, and we achieved that, and I suppose that was quickly followed by the way the championship draw had been laid on for us. You know, a big game with Mayo, and I suppose a large part for us was to kind of to show that last year wasn't a fluke when we bet them down there, and we were lucky enough to get over the line and do that, and
everybody relaxed and went, job done.
That was it, you know, just expected it easier than than it proved to be against Roscommon in the Connacht final. And that's a terrible thing to say, because Galway, we've suffered fate like that before. You could argue complacency maybe, or that might be disrespectful to Tipperary last year, but it's a very hard thing to do, is to get the mind right and focus for every match, and I think we let ourselves down in the Connacht final.
Yeah.
In that regard, bounce back again against Donegal, and had a good win, but I suppose you just don't know where Donegal were at, and going into Kerry then what was big again, because getting to Croke Park and a big game, and I suppose we wanted to go at them and just to put them under pressure, because Kerry are somewhat notorious for not being hectic in quarterfinals.
No.
They've a great record in it, but you've seen them struggle against Cavan, you've seen them struggle against Clare over the last number of years.
Yeah.
But there was an opportunity there, but I just felt that we didn't go after it enough. If that's disappointing.
If a coming team like Galway are going to beat a team like Kerry who are established, then those goal chances have to go in, or some of them have to go in.
Yeah. And we did. We had our fair share in both halves, and if any one of them had gone in, it just would have really given a bit of confidence is what we needed as well.
Yeah.
To really say, geez, there might be something for us here, and especially if you think of the context of the game, it was the first game Mayo and Roscommon were after us, and if we had been in a position chasing that game, and we could have engaged the whole of Connacht,
yeah,
to be shouting for us, and little things like that can go your way. It was things like that went against us in the Connacht final. It was a few strong wind, funny decisions, and just a bit of panic set in. So like, momentum in a game can have a big impact in where you go, and unfortunately we just didn't do enough to bring that on.
I have a theory that momentum in Gaelic football is way more important than it is in most other sports, because there are so few championship games that you play that are really high profile. You play the league games and there's not that much at stake. There's something at stake for individuals, for positions and stuff.
Yeah.
But in the championship, maybe if you're really lucky, you play six games over the course of a season, and so a team doesn't really know what to do. You're not in a situation where you're 6 points or 8 points down that often, or you're not in a situation where you go 4 points up with a huge crowd roaring you on or going against you. So how teams deal with that is far more important in that sport than it would be, say, in a Premier League match or in a rugby match where there's 30 games over the course of the season.
Interesting theory.
It could be bogus.
No, something to it.
I definitely know. From Monaghan's perspective, it's one thing we would have tried to improve on over the past 3 or 4 years in Division One. When we're say down by whatever 3 or 4 points, that we stick in and just keep going to the final whistle. And there was a couple of games this year in the Championship where we stuck in it and kept to our game plan. And it was, we ran out of time against Down in the Ulster semi. If we had another couple of minutes there, we would have liked to thought we were pegged back. But the Carlow were down by a couple of points and pegged them back, and we definitely knew that we had it in within ourselves that we just stuck to our game plan, and you just hope that you'd get in the right side of the result at the end. But with the Dublin game, they're too far ahead to try and peg them boys back.
Yeah, no, for sure. Give us a winner. Is it going to be Dublin who win it? Is it? Can anybody predict with any credibility that it's going to be anybody else at the moment?
Hope football is the winner.
So not Tyrone, is that what you're saying?
Yeah, it'll be an intriguing game, there's no doubt about that. It's just it's going to be a tactical mastermind on both sets now to see who's going to come out in that one. But again, hard to look by the Dubs from. But again, Tyrone's defensive setup at the moment is fairly sharp. Yeah,
yeah,
it's very good.
Yeah, okay. An overall winner?
I'm going to go with a new name who will remain nameless, but I just possibly think there might be something in it for Tyrone, or probably given the nod to Kerry. In fairness to Mayo, they've come back from the edge of the cliff and they deserve a lot of credit for that.
Yeah.
But I would see them as fourth in the race, and I'm just going to throw it out there that maybe it's a long time since it was a 3 in a row done.
Yeah, and there's a reason for that.
But look, it could be pie in the sky. But I'm going to think. I think there's a new winner this year.
All right. Okay.
Yeah, I think the same. Possibly. Yeah.
Right.
Maybe the same. They just might be caught. Whether it's Tyrone, I'm not sure. But it's interesting now with Mayo. Everyone was saying Mayo were tired there a couple of weeks ago because they were playing so many games and blah blah blah. And now they're going to be battle hardened, and maybe Kerry aren't, haven't got the game time that they want. But
being challenged properly.
Exactly, being challenged properly. And I just think Kerry have so many options. They can kick it, they can run it, they can launch it into Donaghy. I'm just it's really hard to call, but it's exciting. It's good to be looking forward to it.
It is, yeah, definitely. We could do with some really close games as well over the rest of the championship. That's pretty much all we've got time for on our Saturday panel this week. We've been talking with Kieran Hughes, Mickey Burke and Michael Meehan. Thanks lads, really enjoyed that.
Thanks,
thank you.
Finished 3-3 in the Watford Liverpool game. Goals galore so far in the Premier League. All those 3 o'clock kickoffs are on the way. We'll bring you team news after these.
Off the ball on News Talk. Thanks to Air. Catch all the sports you love free on the Air Sport Pack with Air Broadband.